Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this fifth day of September 2021 in our new 15-minute, format. And I am grateful to be on the air, and everything is changing rather rapidly these days. So what we have to do is kind of flow with it. And I just want to thank everyone for their support and for listening to the program, and for we made the cut. So we're in a brand new way, in a brand new era, in a brand new format. And we've gone from 25 minutes to 15. That's just the way the internet and the broadcasters want to go. And that's fine with me. I just want to remind you of that if you think this is a little short. Let's talk about family. This is a big problem, family. I do a lot of, many of you know, hospice work, and I can tell you that the family thing is a big issue. I can also tell you in my counseling work, it is critical. It's a critical issue. It is something that usually determines whether or not a person is going to go forward in an authentic spiritual practice or not. And even if their parents are long gone or whatever, don't care about what they do, those genetic insights, those genetic pulls, all of that is still going on inside of us. That's our family heritage, and it just goes on and on and on, influencing us and telling us what we can and cannot do. And so we have this kind of perverse loyalty to what comes out of our bodies. The male and the female create this child. They create more children. They want a family to surround them, like circling the wagons in the old days, and this is how they face life. So let's take a look at it. Jesus was very pungent about all of this, so we're going to get to the first question right away from Gail in Texas. She asks, I listen to you often. It seems you don't like God and you don't like family. What's up with you, Gail? Well, I don't like the Christian God. I don't like the what I call the assumptive God. This God based on interpretations of Bible from people you don't even know, people you don't know about their culture, their language, you just don't know about it. So God is the creation of assumption, and assumption through creation, it goes both ways, around and around. And he who has the loudest voice and understands the psychology of people understands that people need a God. They need to think, there's got to be someone in charge here. This is chaos down here or here on earth. And so people need that. They need to know, well, what am I doing here? What do I do that I'm supposed to be doing? Blah, blah, blah. That's the pedestrian mentality in a conventional world that most people are more than happy to live in and think nothing of as being, bad or obstructive or demeaning or whatever. Now let's get to the family thing. And a man's foes, said Jesus, shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow me after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he who loves his life shall keep it unto eternity. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it will be measured to you again and again. Well, oh boy. It is very, very difficult for people to understand the family. What did Jesus mean by if a person does not hate his mother and his father? The word hate is not the same in our language as it was in Aramaic. It means to put away. And I've said this many, many times to people. I I got all of this from George Lomza, who was my one of my teachers, professors in seminary, about how to understand the Aramaic language and the culture in those days. So nothing is the way it seems to us. And for us to arrogantly think that people lived 2,000 years ago or more the same way we do is rather strange to me and foolish. You've got to really want to understand. And if you don't really understand, you don't get it. What did he mean, not worthy of me? Who's this me he's talking about? It isn't the man Jesus. They didn't have words for the sake of the Christ, the consciousness. He was a way shower. He was showing us insight and fluidity and compassion. He was showing us a lifestyle that was totally different than the one of his day. So what he's saying basically is that if you love your family more than you love what I'm teaching you, then you're not going to benefit from what I'm teaching you, and you will never be able to come into love. You will never be able to come into the flourishing of a great love. You just won't do it. And that's what people are all about. They're about wanting to stay alive as long as possible, hoping that they find something in this world that has some sort of tantalizing effect upon their emotions, because we live emotionally and we live in the psychology of emotionality. So what did Jesus mean? He's saying, in essence, look, if you put your family values ahead of what I'm teaching you, you're not worthy of the way. You will never understand it. You will never get it. And I face this all the time in my counseling. So Gail, this is a big deal. I mean, people will hit that glass ceiling, and they don't know where that glass ceiling came from or why it's there. They have no idea. It is the training they've had emotionally of their use of emotion, of how they recognize emotion, how they interpret their emotions. And then the mind comes in and steps in and tries to analyze it all, give it the spin of logic and reasoning, and that's as far as most people can go. They don't live in the way, the truth, and the light. They're not interested in that. They're interested in not being alone, not being afraid, and having comfort and what they think of as security. And with all that being said, it's a mess. It's absolutely a mess. And we miss the substance of our life and the meaning of it. So why is family so unimportant to me? It isn't that people are always important. They are. Family are not. I don't discriminate between those in family and those not. People are just people. What we're looking at here is how we live within ourselves, and do we live by our genetic foibles? A man's foes, he said, shall be they of his own household. I can, absolutely. And typically, it is the one who is not in an authentic spiritual practice. It is the one, the male or the female, that tells the other one, you can't do this. You're spending too much time and effort and money. You're not being with us. You're not being with your family, as if, you know, that is going to change anything. It's all about reassuring ourselves of our importance in this world and our importance with family members. And that's as far as it goes. People aren't very wise about the way they live with their families. So Gail, it's not that I don't like them or I think of them as unimportant. They are no less and no more important than any other person in this world. It's just that we derive our genetic dispositions, our habits, the way we think, our logic, our reasoning, our psychology from our family. And if you try to elevate yourself past what your family considers normal, you're going to find a great deal of kickback on that. Most people just can't handle it. They don't handle it well. and they quit. And that's why you find Jesus, he doesn't hang around his family. His father died early. He had brothers and sisters, none of which became anything historically important. His mother hung around for as long as she could, probably for the sake of her own survival, you know, staying in the quote-unquote family of his disciples. They took care of her. So that's what I was taught by Lamsa. And whether or not it's true, I don't know. I've never been to the Middle East, and neither have you. And you can't really trust how the Bible's written, because you don't know any of those people. You don't, and you don't know who interpreted it and what their motives were. Forgive me, Gail. I just don't buy it. Please forgive me. Namaste. Let's go to the next question. Why did Jesus reject his family? And this is from Eric, and he doesn't tell me where he lives. The first problem of family is family. Their heritage, their habits, their traditions, all of that. And there's an attachment to people in family that keeps the genetic craziness going on and on and on. This is really terrible. I've had people come to me in session work saying that their parents want them to have children. They're not necessarily in wanting children, but they want to please the parents, blah, blah. And so they go on and on and on with this idea of carrying on the lineage. And that seems to be more important than anything. Let's see how many Joneses or, you know, Fredericks's or whatever can we pour into this world and muck it all up like we do. I put a stop to the pen thing. We don't need any more pens. And I don't really think we really understand the gravitas of what it means to have children in the first place, and who they really are, and not what we'd like to think they are as some sort of accomplishment of our biology into this world. It's a creepy thing to me. But the reason he talked as he did that may and said that they are foes is it is true. How many students have I had where the teachings, when they would listen to them, didn't coincide with how they were raised, how they were taught to think, how they were raised about decency or right or wrong, good and bad? How many? Hundreds. And how many of the family members ganged up on the one that wanted to work upon themselves in this lifetime and said they didn't need to? And the women who just looked at their husbands, and I just recently had this, a student had been with me for 25, 30 years. His wife said, enough, you can't do that anymore. No more Greg Penn, no more meditation, no more anything. You don't do it and blah, blah, blah. She was pounding him. So he had to quit because he didn't want, he said, Greg, I don't want to be alone. She's going to divorce me. And he said, I got man disease really bad. And I admire that. I do that. He knows that. But, you know, there you are. There's the big problem. And he, another lifetime spent in biology with his sperm and his bones and his blood and his brain. And that's about as far as it's going to go. And that's the way people are. They are whatever the boss says. Happy life, happy wife is exactly what happens. And there are very few men that I know, but I have some that just said to their wives, look, I'm going to do this no matter what. And if it weren't for what this means to me, I wouldn't be sitting here with you. So there you are. There's all sorts of wars and rumors of wars with family. And that's why Jesus said what he said, and I agree with him wholeheartedly. I find that biology gets in the way of beauty and light. So there you are. Just that's the way it is. And I'm not going to change it. I don't try to change it. But every person has to make their own decision as to what the quality of their life is going to be. There you are. Hope it helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Raymond. Does not tell me where he lives. Oh, this is a long one, but I cut it down to a sentence or two. I need my family. Does that mean I can't awaken? He doesn't really say why he needs his family, probably for his self-esteem and his ego and not being alone in this world. Yada. Men suffer deeply from being alone. They just really struggle. And if women knew that, which many do, they use it to their advantage and to get what they want typically. It's the way people are. It's just the way people are. Well, you need your family, then be with your family. Does it mean you can't awaken? Well, there will be certain disciplines you're going to have to work upon if you're going to awaken. And if you can do that, in spite of your family heritage and the attachment you have to your family, then yeah, you can awaken. There's no problem. You're going to hit some pushback and some difficulties, but you can do it. But will you? Probably not. I mean, happy wife, happy life, that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know what your situation really is. All I know is this brief little encounter that you and I are having right now. So I can't really tell you what the odds are, but I wouldn't say they're very good, because you're not going to be able to get into anything really intense about yourself, because if you do, you're going to see why you married her. You're going to see what the pain and sorrow is about all of that and what the real truth is of the relationship based on chemistry. I would have you read Behave by Robert Sapolsky. If you read that book, you will understand exactly how the brain works, the mechanism of the brain, the mechanism of the body, and how they cultivate need and want and attraction even. And you will start to understand that what we think of as quote-unquote love really isn't love. It's just occupying, keeping a person occupied, giving them a purpose and a reason for everything they do, and getting some sort of adoration for what we do for the sake of staying alive. And for a lot of people, the majority of people on earth, that's what this is all about, and that's okay for them. But for those of us who that doesn't work with, and we don't see how, you know, that is going to bring about any kind of spiritual evolution, then something more needs to happen. And so that's what you're experiencing when you're practicing the meditation. Meditation is a very fragile thing in the beginning, and it requires a great deal of perseverance, kindness, compassion, all the attributes that normally you would give a family, I guess. And then when you're not giving it to the kids at that time, or you're spending more time meditating than you are with the family, then you're going to get the pushback. And there are a lot of people who just think that it's best for them to be occupied by family than realized by meditation and the awakening. But can you awaken? Sure, of course you can. Will it be difficult? Absolutely. Would it be better or simpler if you weren't getting hassled? I don't know. It depends on the person. Everybody's different. It could be, but then again, it might not be. It just depends on your level of concentration, your mental acuity, and how deeply you want all this. I gotta go. I'm out of here. Thank you for your question. Please forgive me, Raymond. Thank you for listening. Be back on the air next week. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. I hope it's very quiet, serene, and meditative. Please forgive me for this broadcast. Namaste.